It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light. Redeem us, Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street?
He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom, and good Thursday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, at this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. We have a great broadcast today. We're going to be praying for special needs and special situations. But it's a delight to have on the leader of the Pentecostal Holiness Denomination, Dr. Doug Beecham, who serves as the leader of a constituency of about 2 million people, churches and individuals, mission works around the world. So it's going to be a great broadcast, and we invite you to stay tuned. Tomorrow, Evander Holyfield is going to, one of my spiritual sons, going to be my special guest as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. So, delighted to have you listening in, churches all across America. We want to welcome some new churches that are praying with us. We have a total of 1,079 churches that are now praying with us. We want to welcome Gateway, Bethel, Vermont, Harvest Celebration Church in Davenport, Washington, and Grace Fellowship in Alpine, Texas, as well as other churches all across America that are praying with us. So, Father, we just pray for the broadcast today. We pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive as we pray for this nation as well as the nations of the world. So good to have you listening in today. And months ago, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to get on internet radio, and I want you to pray, lead prayer 24 hours a day. Didn't know I could do that, but I know that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. So I went for it, and here we are. It's happening 24 hours a day with the help of my producer, Michael Sean Bourne. And this broadcast is recorded and put on every night at midnight and plays 24 consecutive hours. And then the next broadcast begins. Why are we doing it? Because we know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. We know the power of agreement. Even Jesus said, if any two agree, touching any one thing, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So I do believe that when we pray, something is happening. I've been a prayer leader in America since 1967, and I've been a national prayer leader, international prayer leader since 1985. So over the past 30 years, I've been calling for another spiritual awakening, particularly after I led prayer at the White House in 1995. The Holy Spirit put it on my heart to mobilize 1,000 churches, 1,000 points of light. If your church is not represented, or you or your city is not represented, you can go to our website at letspray.america.com. That's letspray.america.com, and you can sign up. And also, when you sign up, we'll put you on our map that is on our website, and we will also send you out a daily prayer that I send out by email every day, a 60-second prayer. Because I believe that there is hope for our nation, but we know that no individual is the hope. We know that Father God is the hope, and He responds to our times of prayer. I do want to say that I'll be ministering at First Assembly of God in Corning, New York this Sunday, and that will be via Skype. I won't be there in person, but I will be Skyping in from my studio, my broadcast studio in Austin, Texas, and I'm beginning to do more and more of these broadcasts from my studio, preaching and prophesying into local churches across America and even other nations of the world. And so delighted to be able to do that this Sunday, First Assembly of God, Corning, New York. And for those of you in the area, I'll be there by Skype as you attend the service. Also want to remind you that tonight is a special night of praise and worship at Celebration of Life in Baytown, Texas. Celebration of Life in Baytown, Texas. And the pastors there, one of my spiritual sons and daughters, Todd and Cindy Mooring. And they're going to have a special night of praise and worship featuring their brand new single that Ted Slaughter and the Baytown Singers and Musicians have just put out. You can get on iTunes. That's Ted Slaughter and Baytown, Celebration of Life, Baytown, Texas. So they're going to gather tonight, Thursday night, on this 20th day of August. They're going to gather tonight, and they're going to have a great night of praise and worship. And we know that it's going to be a great night because Leland and his brother Jack are going to be singing together, as well as his sister Shelly, his mom and dad, Todd and Cindy Mooring, along with Ted Slaughter and the backup singers there from Celebration of Life. If you're anywhere near Baytown, Texas, near Houston, you need to go out tonight, 7 o'clock, and that will be a wonderful time with Todd and Cindy Mooring and their children, Leland, Jack, and Shelly, as well as Ted Slaughter, the Baytown Celebration of Life backup singer. It's going to be a great night of music, praise, and worship. Wish I could be there. But you can be there, and all you have to do is go to colbaytown.com. That is colbaytown.com, and you can be a part of that incredible night. Father, we thank you for a wonderful day here on BPN. We pray that you would anoint this prayer broadcast with the power of your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, and by the name of Jesus, we come asking your will, plan, and purpose be done in this broadcast today here on BPN Radio. So tonight's going to be a great night of music in Baytown. They're going to be singing this song, Ted Slaughter, the Baytown Celebration of Life Singers. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound, like the roar of mighty waters. One voice of great thunder, a song of glory rising. And I hear holy melodies from the lips of the redeemed. A new life symphony rising up to praise our King. Release the sound of heaven. Release the sound of hope. Release the sound of heaven. Release the sound.
Sound of hope.
Okay, we're worshiping here. We're worshiping here on BPN Radio. Ted Slaughter, Celebration of Life, Worship Team. You can get that on, you can buy that on iTunes. Just go to iTunes. It's called The Sound of Heaven. Dr. Doug Beecham is going to be with us in a moment. We're just going to finish worshiping here on BPN. Okay, I'm delighted and honored to have today here on BPN Radio on this Thursday, my dear friend, Dr. Doug Beecham from Oklahoma City. Dr. Beecham is the General Superintendent and 19th Presiding Bishop of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. He's an accomplished leader, writer, teacher, speaker. Before his election as General Superintendent, he served as the Executive Director of World Missions Ministry, in that denomination from 2005 to 2012, and as the executive director of Church Education Ministries from 2001 to 2005. He also served as superintendent of the Georgia Conference, 1994 to 2001, was pastor of the Franklin Springs Pentecostal Holiness Church in Franklin Springs, Georgia, for 12 years, taught at Emmanuel College in Franklin Springs, Georgia, for 5 years. And Dr. Beecham is also a retired U.S. Army Reserve chaplain with more than 20 years of service. His military training included the chaplain basic course, the chaplain advanced course, the chaplain command, general staff college. He's a graduate of Emmanuel College and the University of Georgia. Dr. Beecham holds a Master of Divinity, a Master of Theology, and a doctorate of ministry from Union Theological Seminary, now Union Presbyterian Seminary in Richmond, Virginia. He's published 6 books, the latest of which was The Christmas Spirit. He's married to Susan Reed Beecham from Greenwood, South Carolina. And Susan is quite an accomplished person herself, the director of pharmacy, respiratory therapy, radiology, and laboratory services at Oklahoma Heart Hospital in Oklahoma City. They have 2 grown children. Beth White practices law in D.C., and Douglas is an anesthesiologist in Lexington, Kentucky. He and his wife, Kelly, have 1 daughter, Caroline. And I might note that Dr. Beecham, even though he lives in the state of Oklahoma, has not been willing to convert over to being an Oklahoma Sooner fan. He still says that he's a Georgia Bulldog. Is that correct?
That's correct, Dale.
Hey, welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the broadcast today. It's a delight to have you. I appreciate your friendship, my times I've got to pray with you. And what an honor it is to have you today. And I know that you bring a lot to the table. You have quite a resume there. And leading the Pentecostal Holiness denomination movement, I know that you have a lot of experience. I love the Pentecostal Holiness. I have a lot of wonderful friends as part of that denomination. Of course, Tony Miller and Dan Beller, Dwight Burchett and Garnet Pike, and Dr. Jesse Simmons. And I've got to minister at a lot of the conferences over the years, including Dr. R.O. Corvin. He and I actually had received approval to put Christian materials in every school in the nation of Jamaica when he died. So he was a great friend. But you're a great friend, and it's good to have you. And how long has the Pentecostal Holiness Movement been around?
Around 1998, and So we are well over 100 years old, and God has blessed the movement for the years. And we originally came out of people who had Methodist background.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have in our organizational structure, we still use a lot of the Methodist terminology, like conferences. And because of those kinds of backgrounds, that sort of quasi-civil structure, we have we use bishops and things of that nature as part of our terminology.
Right.
And we're in over 100 countries around the world, and missions has been in our DNA almost from the beginning. And we were really actually about 6 times larger overseas than we are in the United States.
Wow.
And so there's this very diverse, multi-ethnic, multi-language aspect to the IPHC, which is a great blessing. You get to see all the shades of the kingdom of God, which is a wonderful thing to see. I do want to, I realized that when I heard the end of what you were saying there, my son has actually moved to Oklahoma City and is a pain management doctor, and there is a second granddaughter. So,
all right,
I had to make sure that I got both grandchildren into this.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't get my bios updated from time to time.
Well, that might be one we've not updated either. I'll go back and be sure to check on that.
Yeah, but congratulations on another granddaughter there. You can't leave these grandchildren out.
That's the best part of what I'm doing at this stage of life. It's good.
I agree. I took most all of my grandkids on a vacation this past week. We had a wonderful time, so I certainly understand how that works. And, family is very, very important. And I know that you're devoted to your family. And, of course, your family, the Pentecostal Holiness movement, denomination. And you were cutting out there for just a moment. When did the Pentecostal Holiness start? When did it begin?
I'm sorry. We started in 1898.
Oh, that's a long time. So over 100 years.
And we started in as two different groups, but they knew one another.
Mm-hmm.
One group started in the Midwest, in Nebraska and Kansas, Oklahoma and Texas. They were called the Fire Baptized Holiness Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the other group formed in eastern North Carolina, and they were known as the Holiness Church of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
They all knew one another, and it's amazing when you look at the history. There were quite a number of holiness-oriented magazines, newspapers that were published. There were these massive holiness camp meetings all across the country in the latter part of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th. And, of course, train travel was how people moved. And a lot of people today don't realize that actually there were telephones. There were more telephones in public places and in homes than people realize today. The old landlines, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these leaders knew one another from reading these periodicals and speaking at the same events. And after the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles in 1906, where really the modern experience of Pentecost mushroomed in a matter of months around the world. Both of these movements were dramatically affected by that, became Pentecostal, and because of their relationships, they actually merged in the little town of Falcon, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
on January 31st, 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that merger that formed the Pentecostal Holiness Church basically as we know it today.
Mm-hmm.
But the roots go back to 1898, and as the psalmist said, we have a godly heritage.
You certainly do. That's a long, long time. So how many constituents, including churches and ministers, would be included in the Pentecostal Holiness denomination around the world?
Around the world, in the denomination itself, I think there's over 12,000 congregations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the exact number of ministers. I think we all guesstimate somewhere around 20 to 25,000.
Wow.
And then we have affiliate memberships with the Pentecostal Methodist Church of Chile, the largest Pentecostal group in the nation of Chile in South
mm-hmm.
America,
mm-hmm.
and also with a Wesleyan Methodist group in Brazil, which happens to also be Pentecostal. Those are our two major affiliations. We have the same theology. We have personal relationships with one another. And in fact, I was back down in Chile and for a major conference that that particular denomination has. And so you count their membership and our membership. Our membership is about 1.8 million around the world.
Wow.
You have those affiliates, and it pushes up well into the high 2 million numbers, mm-hmm. maybe even higher than that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's blessing, and in the USA, there's about 2,000 IPHC congregations with about 275,000 members. Our largest single congregation is in Greenville, South Carolina. It's Redemption World Outreach Center, led by Apostle Ron Carpenter, Jr., with close to 20,000 members.
Wow.
And,
yeah, I know Ron.
And his father was a great leader
yes.
in the denomination, and actually was my predecessor
yes.
in the office I hold today. Outside the USA, our largest congregation is in Hong Kong. It's the Wing Wong Pentecostal Holiness Church with close to 7,000 members in the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and then you go to other parts of the world. The largest IPHC membership per continent is in Africa with nearly a million members.
Wow.
And
What nation in Africa is that? What country?
Well, probably the biggest membership in Africa would be Ethiopia.
Oh, wow.
And then South Africa might be the next largest, and then perhaps Togo. But the whole continent has about a million members in our movement. And
wow.
Wonderful brothers and sisters. In October, I'll be in Malawi for their general conference, and looking forward to being there. It'd be my first time to go to Malawi. I've been to a lot of other countries in Africa, but I've not been to Malawi, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I know that the responsibility that you carry, giving oversight to a constituency of about 2 million people, that can be pretty mind-boggling. And I know that that God has prepared you. But that can be quite staggering when you think about it. So you know, to plan your week and your month, you know, I know you have to have some tremendous organization, and I know that you have a prayer life to accompany you in doing that. And in your preparation time, you were in the chaplaincy. And how did that come about, as being a reserve chaplain?
Yeah, that really worked well. I was finishing seminary. I went to a Presbyterian seminary, though I remained a Wesleyan. I did not become a Calvinist. But they were very good to me. And, you know, they gave me the tools for biblical studies and theological studies in particular that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was finishing seminary and was going to be going back to teach at one of our colleges, a fully accredited college, Emmanuel College,
mm-hmm.
in Northeast Georgia. And in those years, in the late 1970s, you know, you didn't get paid very much to go teach at a Christian school.
Right.
And I was looking for partly some extra income as well as some ministry. I've been very blessed. The 5 years I was in seminary, I served as the associate pastor at a Pentecostal Holiness Church in Richmond, Virginia. So I wanted some type of an ongoing ministry outlet besides the classroom. And my brother-in-law, who happens actually to be our denominational intercessory prayer director, right, to Lou Shirey.
Mm-hmm.
Lou was an active duty Army chaplain.
Uh-huh.
And he suggested to me that I ought to consider the reserves. And it had been in my heart even years earlier. My daddy told me that he was a young man finishing Bible school when World War II broke out. And my daddy told me that he tried to become a Navy chaplain. And when he went for his physical, they found out he had tuberculosis. So he was obviously not able to do that, although mm-hmm. the Lord touched him later in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied and was accepted and actually began serving U.S. Army Reserve units in Georgia in January of 1978. Did my training that you mentioned there.
Mm-hmm.
I served all the way to 2001. I finished up. My last assignment was at a signal brigade at Fort Gordon, Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. Wonderful people. The military had this wonderful training that you have to do to be promoted. I retired as a lieutenant colonel. And so the organizational and leadership skills that the Army taught me, not only in the classroom, but the experience, and in, to a large extent, the men and women who I served with who were commanders,
mm-hmm.
taught me a huge amount. Dale, my last 7 years, I served with a series of one-star and two-star generals, and to be on a general's staff
wow.
was just a phenomenal experience. These were just incredibly gifted people.
Yeah.
Who, in their commitment, in their professionalism, actually continue to have a huge influence in my life. And so I'm very grateful for that. The ministry opportunities in counseling and in preaching and in one-on-one experiences to lead people to Jesus, that was a wonderful opportunity. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, well, you certainly bring a wealth of experience to the table, Dr. Doug Beecham, and I'm thankful that you had the opportunity to serve our country. You know, I do want to ask you what you see happening in the military, because I know you were a part of that, and what do you see happening on the world front? I know you're a very current events man, and you know, what do you see happening in the church? What I mean, we're living in a day of rapid changes, and it seems like the buzzword is quickly. Everything is happening so quickly, and what is your perspective as far as where we are as a nation, where we are as a military, because you were part of that, and where we are as a church today? With all
right.
of the upheaval and changes, 4,000 churches, they say, are going to be closed this year. So
yep.
what is taking place from your perspective?
I was last weekend, well, not this past weekend, but 2 weeks ago, I was in San Diego for the chaplain's retreat for the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And with those wonderful men and women there who serve in all the branches. And there's quite a bit of conversation, of course, about the changes that are occurring in the military, U.S. military, particularly in relationship to sexuality issues, have sort of become a testing ground for social reform.
Mm-hmm.
One may, or social change reforms might not be the right word. And you know, there are different views about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I hear, and you get asked by people who don't know, is that, you know, are military chaplains going to be required to perform same-sex marriages and things of that nature? And there's no indication that that will be the case. Military chaplains are but not only accepted by the United States military and serve as an officer, but they also are endorsed by their denomination. So a chaplain actually cannot do anything contrary to his denominational standards, mm-hmm. his denominational doctrines and practices. Mm-hmm. And so that's a major protection. If there were to be a scenario, which I don't really believe would happen very often, where someone would attempt to demand that a Pentecostal holiness or another Pentecostal or evangelical chaplain perform a same-sex wedding, for instance, that's not allowed by us as a denomination. Mm-hmm. And that chaplain's protected by that. And so that's a healthy thing so far. Hopefully nothing either by court decisions or military decisions would be done to change that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't appear to be the case right now.
Okay.
We are going through major changes in the United States and in Western culture, as all of your listeners are keenly aware.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Dale, from my perspective, I'm actually sensing that we are very quickly moving into a new dark ages, morally and culturally, mm-hmm. which means that the light of the gospel is going to shine brighter.
Yes.
I think in many ways we're like the first and second century church. The first century church was a very, very small movement, comparatively speaking, and yet it made its impact by the power of the gospel,
yeah.
the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and I think God's calling us to that,
uh-huh.
To preach the word. He's calling us to renewed holiness.
Yeah,
it's and you know the passage out of the Old Testament, out of Zechariah. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by God's Spirit that things occur.
Mm-hmm.
That we're called to be really Spirit filled, Spirit led people.
That's right.
That means we don't live afraid. Means we don't live angry.
That's right.
It means we live as heralds of the kingdom that's here and that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the contrast is becoming so sharp now, particularly in American culture,
yeah.
that it's actually advantageous to the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a Pentecostal Holiness major youth conference about a month ago. And there were over 1,000 teenagers there.
Mm-hmm.
And I sensed that even these young people realized that on these critical social moral issues, that for them, following Jesus now is just not a popular, you know, it's no longer about the culturally accepted thing. It's no longer about, do you live in the Bible Belt? You've got to make a real decision that may cost you friendships.
Yeah.
And I saw among those 1,000-plus teenagers a seriousness mm-hmm. about following Jesus that I've really not seen before. So what the enemy has meant as harm and destruction, God's turning it out for the church.
Yeah.
In an advantageous state,
yeah.
which I think is the hope for our society.
Uh-huh.
The Pentecostal Church has taken a very, very clear stand regarding what marriage is, that it's between a man and a woman.
Uh-huh.
That's not just something for Christians. We believe that that's God's truth for creation.
Yeah.
We just put up on our website, actually, at iphc.org, a position paper on marriage and sexual morality that addresses these issues, addresses the fact that those of us in our, you know, who are in biblically defined marriage relationships, that we, you know, we live godly lives.
Yeah,
and God's calling for our marriages to be strengthened and to
yes.
and to reflect the truth of the gospel and Christ's love for His church.
Yeah, Well,
but that's sort of how I view things. I think around the world we're seeing, as you know, you well know, particularly in the Middle East and in parts of Africa and Asia, we're seeing Christians who are being horribly persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Lives are being taken, their properties are being taken.
Yeah,
I've got a personal friend of mine who's the patriarch of the Syriac Orthodox Church. A brother who I met several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually been in this church up in New Jersey when he was leading there in Jersey. He now lives in Syria. And our Syrian Orthodox brothers and sisters are being killed by ISIS.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the need for the body of Christ, beyond our denominational labels, to span with one another,
mm-hmm.
it's absolutely critical today.
Absolutely.
I think it's an opportunity God's giving the church to shine.
I believe that. You know, I've been prophesying for several years that it's very important for us as Christian leaders, pastors, and et cetera, to have a company. In fact, you know, I was just reading today from the Book of Acts where Peter and John, after their persecution, et cetera, that they went back to their own companions. The King James says their own company. And I just believe there's a lot of pastors and Christian leaders out there who are not a part of a company. And
right.
I believe, I've been prophesying, they're going to attract intense scrutiny from governmental agencies, et cetera, even forces of evil, because they are kind of easy pickings. They're out there.
That's right.
Seemingly
That's right.
doing their own thing. And a lot of these men, I believe, as these days approach, need to be a part of a company like the Pentecostal Wholeness Denomination, who's been in operation now for over 100 years. And I'm glad you've never changed your name, because I believe that I believe in the Pentecostal movement, and of course I believe in holiness. I know that that is not just a legalistic statement, but I believe in biblical holiness. And
right.
I know that I've just watched your group over all these many years, and you know, I would highly recommend any pastors, leaders out there, if they're interested in being a part of a good company, to be a part of your company. And what is required for ministers to be a part of your denomination, of your movement? What do they have to do?
Yeah, I appreciate the emphasis you're giving us. Thank you for that. I would encourage anyone who's out there who's not a part of a movement right now, go to our webpage. Our beliefs are there. Our doctrinal position, our lifestyle is there. Start there, IPHC.org. Take a look at that, and if the Lord continues to lead you, there's a section on the webpage at the top right that says locate an IPHC church. And click that, and a map of the United States comes up. And what it does is it gives you the name and the contact information for the bishop in the particular area of the country where you live. And there's nearly 30 in the United States. And if you live outside the United States and listen to this program and you wanted to learn more, go to the webpage and go to World Missions Ministries, and you can find out more there. You can actually reach me on Facebook. Go to IPHC General Superintendent and click like, and then you can just send me a message there, and because I respond to those messages. I want to follow up with what you said. We are getting local congregations and independent ministers that realize, you know, they need some cover and protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous out there by yourself.
Yeah.
The other thing is that movements don't need to be by themselves.
Right.
I'm very grateful. Pentecostal Church is part of the National Association of Evangelicals. We're part of the Pentecostal and Charismatic Churches of North America and some other organizations. We're in close. You know, we have close relationships personally with the leaders of the Church of God and the Assemblies of God and other movements here in the United States and outside the United States. I know you put a great focus on prayer, and I want to thank you because you've been in, I'm in my office right now talking to you, and you've been in this office and you've prayed with me.
That's right.
And I'm very, very grateful for it. And, you have an open door here at any time.
Thank you so much.
And, but I wanted to mention that there is a huge interdenominational prayer effort occurring that we're a part of. One is called Awakening America Alliance. That's there's going to be a major cry out to the Lord assembly in Atlanta on January the 6th and 7th. You may know David Ferguson. He's there in Texas. He's the co-chair of the Awakening America Alliance. But this is involving people like Sammy Rodriguez with a huge international Hispanic ministry, leadership from the Four Square, from the Pentecostal Church, from the Assemblies of God, and from the Southern Baptist, Ronnie Floyd, who's the, I'm not sure what term they use, maybe the general moderator, whatever term they use, of the Southern Baptist Convention, is a part of this. And there's been through Ronnie Floyd, there's been a major commitment to prayer in the Southern Baptist Convention. And what God has brought us to the place in America and around the world that our traditional differences, of church government, things like that, they're not nearly as important as the unity we've got in Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And in the power of the Spirit.
Exactly.
And so I'm very thankful that the Spirit of God is leading people. And it's even within some of the churches that are more liberal, there are pockets of people who have a deep commitment to Christ and a prayer that are crying out for revival.
That's right.
And so I think we're at a period of time, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I know he is going to come back.
Yes.
But until he comes, I think we've got to be about the task in a very, very serious way.
I believe that. It's an honor to have you on today. Dr. Doug Beacham gives oversight to the Pentecostal Wholeness Denomination, IPHC General Superintendent. And speaking of prayer, I want you to pray however the Holy Spirit leads you. I just sense that we are involved in a world harvest like never before, and I know that you have a tremendous heart for the world, and I know you've spent time in a lot of different nations of the world. In fact, we have here on BPN Radio, we have had over 70 nations that have tuned in and been a part of this broadcast. So I want you to pray today, however the Holy Spirit leads. But, I'm going to ask you to pray for the world harvest. I'm going to ask you to pray for pastors and churches that are out there that seemingly alone that may need some covering. Because I know that there's a tremendous war. But at the same time, I know there's a lot of light. I just believe we're living in the most exciting days in the history of our nation, the history of the world. So I know you're a man of prayer. I have enjoyed praying with you, and I want you to pray today, however the Holy Spirit leads you before we go.
All right, thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Dale Gentry and ministries like his that are reaching out to your body, that are undergirding your sheep in prayer. We pray blessings upon Brother Dale and his wife and family. We lift up to you the nations of the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are undergoing tremendous persecution. And we ask, Lord, that you will stand with them. You'll bring deliverance to them. We pray for those in Nigeria who are undergoing tremendous pressures, those who live on the battle lines between conflict of Christianity and other world religions, a conflict that is often so violent. Pray, O Lord, that across the Western democracies, that the truth of your word will begin to be heard. Pray for the Holy Spirit to stir in pastors and in leaders and in lay people of the seriousness of the hour in which we live. That you will raise up, not only among those of us who are older, raising up a profound awareness of the shortness of the hour, but among a new generation that's arising, a seriousness, a commitment to see your righteousness. We pray, Father, for ministers and congregations, particularly across the United States right now, that any spirit of fear and intimidation will be broken off of them. And they walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and the victory that is ours in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for courage, boldness. We pray for wisdom, for people to know how to live out the walk with you in such a way that the lost are drawn to you. We pray that you will free us of illusions, free us of anger, and fill us with your love and your grace and your truth. We thank you again and cry out to you that your hand not be taken off of us, but by your grace, put your hand upon us. Let revival, just as you said in your word, that judgment begins in the household of God. Let revival begin in your household, and let it spread across this land. These things we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, Dr. Doug Beecham, it's a privilege to have you on the broadcast on BPN today and giving oversight to the IPHC denomination. And, you know, I just, I have carried this, I know we're kind of a couple of extended minutes, but I've carried this, this burden for, several months concerning the closing of churches across America. And I just sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to me that there are some church buildings that have been closed that could easily be reopened.
That's
and
right.
Be a part of the IPHC movement, the Pentecostal Holiness movement. You know, it came to light in my heart and my spirit when I was scheduled to minister at my home church in Comanche, Oklahoma. And I don't know if you know where Comanche is, but just a little town of less than 2,000 people. That's where I grew up. I went to church. And before I got there to minister, a friend of mine and I were going to minister there who also grew up in the church. They closed the doors, and they shut
wow.
the doors. And I went a couple of weeks ago. I drove through Comanche. I saw a beautiful brick building there. And the sunflowers were starting to grow up in front of it. And I thought, even though it's a small town, this building needs to be open. Somebody needs
That's right.
to open the doors of this church and have church again. It doesn't make any difference whether there's maybe two or three charismatic churches in that town.
That's right.
But that's just kind of in my spirit. And, I'm just going to ask the Lord, with your agreement, to begin to put in the hearts of some of your ministers or some that's not even affiliated with the Pentecost Oldest denomination to contact you guys. Let's reopen some of these churches
Amen.
That are sitting
yes.
there. They're beautiful buildings, and they're sitting there waiting for
that's
a
right.
pastor, and we need some pastors. And so thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me. It's been a tremendous honor. And give us one more time how to contact you, Dr. Beecham.
Yeah. You can go through the webpage, iphc.org. You can reach me at my email address. That's dbeacham. That's B-E-A-C-H-A-M at I-P-H-C. .org, and you can do that through the webpage as well, and on at Facebook at IPHC General Superintendent.
Dale, great.
Thank you again.
That's great.
This has been a real honor and privilege for me to be on this call with you.
Thank you
so much.
All right. God bless you, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, you as well.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it's been good to have Dr. Doug Beecham, my friend from Oklahoma City and the leader of the Pentecostal Holiness denomination. And what a joy it's been to have him on. He gives oversight to a constituency worldwide of about 2 million people. And what a tremendous responsibility he has. But what a man of prayer. And I know that prayer sustained that great denomination now for over 100 years. And good to have you listening on BPN Radio. This is your 24-hour internet prayer station, this time or any time, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America and the spiritual awakening. And we'd like to remind you that we're believing God for 1,000 prayer leaders, and that is people that will join our network. Doesn't cost anything to join, actually. You just go to bpnradio.com. bpnradio.com, and there you can register, and we will include you in our mailing list that we send out. We send out a prayer list every week. I know there's a lot of different prayer groups out there. I'm so very, very thankful for every prayer entity that is praying. And I know that each of us have that are called to be prayer leaders have tremendous responsibilities to help to call other people to help us. If you'd like to be included in the 1,000 prayer leaders, then what you can do is you can go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and go down to the 1,000 prayer leaders. You can click on that and register. And we will include you in our list of prayer leaders. And so, and you will receive the weekly list of prayers that I send out. So, Father, we just agree right now, in Jesus' name, that you will increase, enlarge, and expand the prayer movement that is happening all across America. And people are rising up, realizing the power of prayer. As we agree together, one, putting 1,000 to flight, two, putting 10,000 to flight, three, 100,000 to flight, four, 1,000,000 to flight, 10, a trillion to flight, 16, a sextillion, 35, a dodecasillion, 99, a Google, 199, a buy Google, and so forth and so on. We pray together, and we are a force in the earth as we pray together. So we thank you, Lord, that there are prayer groups forming all across America. And if you would like to be included in the Breakout Prayer Network, your prayer group, maybe you want to form a group. And if it's a private group, we'll list it as private. If it's a public group, we'll list the name of your church or campus or wherever a geographical location you're meeting in. So there you have it. It's been a great day, a great broadcast. Thank you for praying with me. If you want to make a donation to Breakout Prayer Network, you can do so by going to bpnradio.com. Go down to the donate button. You can click it there, and you can make a donation using your credit card, debit card, and your PayPal. And if you want to write a check to Breakout Prayer Network, there's an address to do so. Well, our time has come and gone. Tomorrow, one of my spiritual sons and four-time heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Evander Holyfield, will be my guest, and I'm sure that he's going to have a lot to say tomorrow. So be prepared and stay tuned. Tell your friends as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.